The words to one of our more popular Christmas carols goes like this: Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing. Did you know this hymn is actually more about the second coming of Jesus than his first? But still, the hymn gives us a sense of joy regarding Christ our Savior. And we certainly know that upon his birth, the heavens and the earth did proclaim the joy of his birth. And I think we all have moments each year at Christmas when the stress of the season gets to us and we lose our joy. But if ever there was a year that has been hard to find joy, it is this year, isn't it? 2020. The word joy now seems as if it's a three-lettered swear word. In the spring, we were told, let's shut down for 2 weeks. Oh, joy. Then we were told to start wearing masks. Oh, joy. And then we missed Easter. Oh, joy. Then the election stuff started heating up. Oh, joy. And then we get to the fall and the schools are open. Then the schools are shut down. And the parents said, oh, joy. And through this pandemic, many have lost jobs. And for them, it's, oh, joy. Many have had to significantly alter, cancel, or postpone weddings, graduations, anniversaries, and so much more. Loved ones have been hospitalized, and many people could not go see them. Oh, joy, huh? Many of our nursing homes and assisted living communities have been locked down, and so many people have not seen their loved ones in 6 or 9 months. Oh, joy. And the election of 2020 certainly continues to divide Americans. Oh, joy. Thanksgiving plans were seriously changed for most of us, and our Christmas plans will have to change as well. Oh, joy. But it looks like we may have several vaccine options in the first part of 2021. But it is not all joy, is it? Because we continually hear about controversy and difficulties of how it will be distributed, who will get it first, and even some who will refuse to take it because of fears of the unknown with the vaccine. And we watch the news and we say, oh, joy. But do we really miss all the Christmas joy we used to have? Because most Christmases we would say, look at the mall traffic. Oh, joy. Or how about the Christmas chaos? Like, you remember the week you had 2 band concerts, another practice, a Christmas party, 2 dozen cookies due, and a secret Santa to buy for? Oh, that's joy, isn't it? And our joy doesn't get any better after we open our presents. Look at the sweater your aunt got me. Oh, joy. Oh, look at this big box, some assembly required. Oh, joy. Many dads know that one. And then when everybody leaves, look at the mess we have to clean up. Oh, joy. And how about this one? The kids are fighting already. Oh, joy. But Christmas isn't all bad, is it? Christmas was a joy as a kid. Remember what it was to make out your list, to beg and beg for something you wanted, to leave those obvious hints, and then the joy of opening up gifts on Christmas morning. The whole process of getting to Christmas just made Christmas Day that more joyous. And as a kid, Christmas was a journey full of joy. And even as adults, it's not all ball humbug, is it? We still have moments when we see the Christmas joy. However, when we see joy, it usually comes after a lot of work, doesn't it? The joy of turning on those Christmas lights hanging on the house. But it took a lot of work to get them up, didn't it? The joy of seeing your Christmas tree all decorated. That is a joy, but it took a lot of work to get to that joyous moment. The joy of seeing your kids or grandkids, their faces light up as they open up their presents. But it took a lot of work to get to that joyous moment. The joy of seeing family gathered around the table and enjoying a special dinner. But it took a lot of work to get to that joyous moment. And think about some of the greatest non-Christmas joys you have experienced in life. It usually took a lot of hard work to get to that joyous moment. The day you learned to ride a bike, it was a day of joy, but it took a lot of work to get to that joyous moment, didn't it? The day you graduated was joy, but it took a lot of work to get to that joy. Believe it or not, before I had kids, I actually did a lot of running. And I ran 3 marathons, and it was a joy to make the finish line. But it certainly took a lot of work to get to that finish line. And if we can find joy from the fruits of our own hard work, how much more joy can we find when we are working in God's will? Let us take a look deeper into our Christmas story. We heard earlier that at that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea. Now, I want to tell you, this was not an easy journey for her. It was over rough terrain and would have taken 8 to 10 days to complete. And as our scripture continues, it says, when she entered Zechariah's home and greeted, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. We know that Elizabeth was very important to Mary. As her elder and a relative, she was probably a strong mentor. And in her very, very troubling time of need, Mary comes running to her. Elizabeth is likely in her 60s or even older. She is married to Zechariah the priest. They are promised by God to be blessed with their first child, John the Baptist. And we see that when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. See, Elizabeth had been on a long, hard journey. She had been barren her whole life. But she had found joy at the end of her journey because she found her place inside of God's plan. And it brought great joy to her. And because of this joy and during her experience, she is able to provide comfort to Mary. And in verse 42, it says, in a loud voice, she exclaimed, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord will fulfill his promises to her. She proclaims, blessed are you, Mary. Blessed is the child. Blessed is she who believed. She said she was blessed. How could Mary feel like she was blessed? I mean, everything was happening so fast. We all know Mary was very likely young. And I'm sure the first pregnancy can be scary for anyone. But being pregnant in a society that could stone her to death, a society where her parents could be shamed and maybe outraged at her, do you think that maybe Mary was second-guessing herself? I mean, was she thinking, did I really see an angel or was it a bad dream? Could this really be God's will? How does being unmarried and pregnant fit into God's plan? And a troubled Mary needed a mentor. She needed advice. She needed comfort. And she turns to Elizabeth, who greets her by exclaiming, blessed are you. Blessed is the child. Blessed is she who believed. And I think this term blessed is often misconstrued. Because blessings are not material things. It is not really about having enough stuff to be content. Blessing is a state of being. Blessing is not about ease and comfort. Blessing is the joy of being a part of God's work. Blessing is being used by God for God's purposes. Blessing is being accompanied by God's presence, particularly in the face of adversity. Do you get that? Blessing is being accompanied by God's presence, particularly in the face of adversity. God does not choose people for easy missions. God usually gives us things that require us to be all in, a mission that maximizes all we can handle and causes us to have faith. We need to rely on Him. But that is where joy comes in. That is where feeling blessed comes in. You see, when life stops being about us and our circumstances, when it starts being about God and His mission for us, we can then see the joy of being a part of God's work. We can be blessed with His presence in our lives, no matter the situation we find ourselves in. Paul was in prison and facing the death penalty, and he writes to the people we just read in Philippians, "Rejoice!" And it is not only what Paul taught us, it is what Jesus taught us. Jesus taught us that no matter the situation, you can feel blessed in all circumstances. He had this little sermon that most of you may not have heard of, the Sermon on the Mount, where he said, "Blessed are the hungry. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." You see, Jesus taught us that in the face of adversity, we should rejoice and be glad. Not something we've done a lot of in 2020, is it? But we can be blessed and we can have joy. We can have joy because we are doing things for God that has heavenly rewards. Our joy should come from the eternal promises of God. It'd be nice if each of us could have an Elizabeth in our lives. And in some way, each of us should be working to be an Elizabeth in someone else's life. You see, Elizabeth was able to use her circumstances, her state of having joy in God's plan. I mean, here was a woman in the senior years of her life who was ridiculed for not being able to have children because having children was everything in her society. But she was faithful her whole life to God, and God said, "Here is the revelation of the plan. You are going to have a child, and you're going to name him John." And she found joy, and she gave comfort and peace and joy to Mary. See, that is why we need a strong church family, so that together we can live in a state of blessed joy, and we can encourage each other to live in a state of blessed joy. Because when one of us is hurting, the other should be picking each other up. And Mary was blessed by Elizabeth. Elizabeth was able to show Mary that her blessedness came from being a part of God's plan. That it's a blessing to be used by God for God's kingdom. She confirmed to Mary that her blessedness was to be chosen by God to bear the Messiah. Mary needed this affirmation. And when Mary was able to realize she was indeed a part of God's plan, a great relief came upon her. She was filled with joy and she jumped into a song of praise. See, Mary suddenly Nothing had changed, right? Her circumstances were still bad circumstances. To be a young lady pregnant by the guy, by somebody who wasn't your husband, nothing changed, but all of a sudden she discovered and was reminded by Elizabeth that this is a part of God's plan. And Mary was full of joy. And Elizabeth was full of joy. And we should live our lives full of joy. We should go around singing praises to God. People should look at us and say, "What's wrong with you?" If we go back to the greeting from Elizabeth, in a loud voice she claimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord will fulfill his promises to her." Do you know what Elizabeth really said there? "Joy to the world, the Lord has come." Elizabeth was the first person to acknowledge that Mary was carrying our Lord and Savior. Right there in front of Elizabeth was Mary. And the Lord himself was inside her. She recognized that Jesus, the Christ, the Messiah, dwelled within her womb. And Elizabeth proclaimed, "Joy to the world, the Lord has come." But you know what? It may be in a different form. But as Christians, we are to have Christ in our hearts. We have Christ inside us. And when people meet us, they should be able to exclaim, "Joy to the world, the Lord has come." We as Christians should bring joy to people's lives. And ask yourself, does your presence bring joy to people's lives? Do they see the Lord in you? When you arrive places, is it, "Oh, joy, look who's here"? Or is it, "Oh, look who's here. Oh, joy." You see, we should be a joyous people no matter our circumstances. It doesn't matter if we have COVID. It doesn't matter what health problems we have. It doesn't matter what we're struggling with. We should have the joy of Jesus Christ because we have the promises of eternal life, and we should be living out God's plan day in and day out. You see, joy is a choice. Joy is a choice we make when we look at our present circumstances through the eyes of faith, trusting that God is at work and that He will never leave us or abandon us. I mean, look at those words. Joy is a choice. When we look at our present circumstances through the eyes of faith, trusting that God is at work, knowing that He will never leave us or abandon us. That is being blessed. That is joy. Joy is a choice. Have joy because you have Jesus. And if you can't seem to find your joy, seek God's will. And then accept God's will. And go and do God's will. And then you will find joy. And when you have joy, use your joy to bring joy to others. Just imagine the blessing we can be to other people right now. Just imagine if we could discover our own joy and proclaim that joy. We should be a place of happiness, a place of joy, a place that people want to come to because this is a place of joy. This is a house of joy. We are a positive people of joy. When people talk about the mess that our country is in, when people talk about the mess of the pandemic, we can say, yeah, that's true. But you know what? God loves me. God walks with me. God directs me. And God has a home waiting for me. And shouldn't that be our message to people? Our joy should be a powerful witness to people, even in this pandemic. Our joy should be a powerful witness to people, even in the midst of political controversy. And our joy should be a powerful witness to people as they struggle and they feel the weight of the world pounding on them. We need to be a people of joy. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the example of Elizabeth. And we thank you for the joy that she brought and shared to Mary. And we thank you for the joy that Mary was able to find even in her difficult circumstances. Lord, there are times when life is overwhelming. Lord, there are times when there are things going on around us that feel are out of control. There are times we feel hopeless and times that we feel lost. But Lord, in all these things, let us seek and discover you. Let us remember what that little baby in the manger really meant for us. Let us rediscover our joy this Advent, knowing that Jesus would come to become the perfect sacrifice. That through Jesus we can have forgiveness and redemption, and that we can share in the eternal promises where we will one day be raised even above the angels, and we will spend the eternal glory in the presence of God. Lord, let us be your people, and let us be a joyous people. Let us continue to seek and serve your will. Let us do it as individuals and collectively as a church. Lord, forgive us where we fail. Give us your strength when we need it most. And let us always look to you and live our lives the way you have called us to. All of this we ask and pray through the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Guys, let's remember that joy is a choice. It's a choice we make when we look at our present circumstances through the eyes of faith, trusting that God is at work and that He will never leave us or abandon us. That alone should give us great joy, right? We have the promise of eternal life. And until that time, we have the promise of each other. We have the promise of the Holy Spirit. We have the promise of His Word and His Scripture. We have so much to be joyful for. Because this earth is temporary. And we can smile and know that we have that love. We can smile and know that we have those promises. So let us not let the world gut us down. Do not let the world squash the joy of our Christmas. Let us leave here and be a people of joy. Let us go out and serve the world in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.